Surely the Lord is in this place, and we are blessed. I love you all. It's so good to be with you in the house of the Lord. Everybody turn to Psalm 27 or follow along on the monitor or the bulletin. Lord willing, we're going to finish up our little study of Psalm 27. We have David, King David, the giant slayer, King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, making this proclamation that God is everything to him. That even though life is brutal, life is unfair, and those things are certainly true in our day, David's saying, all I need is God. I just want more of God. God is my strong tower. God is my place of safety. God is my salvation. God is my light. What in the world should I be afraid of? So we're going to finish this up today, Lord willing, and let us apply this to our hearts. Go back and read Psalm 27. Stay in the Word of God. We need to build ourselves up in the Word of God. There's no excuse. You know this. If we have time, let me just say it like this. We make time to do what's important to us. We'll squeeze that in. And we really need to spend time in the Word of God. I know I say that every week, but that's the big deal. We got to stay in the Word of God. We got to stay in our prayer closet. We need to stay in our praise closet. We need to give the Lord some praise. You know, praise and worship Him. Praise is a form of prayer. We need to spend time with the Lord is what I'm trying to say. We need this. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you. We love you. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 27, verses 10 through 14. Father God, we just love you and we praise you, Lord. You are everything to us. If you are not everything to us, thank you, Father God, that you will instill that desire in our hearts, Lord. Father God, you are all we need, Lord, and thank you that your will is going to be done in this service. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for those that have read over this passage many, many times. They will still be fed. Thank you for those that this is the first time they've ever read Psalm 27, that they will be fed, that we will leave here encouraged and energized and hungering and thirsting for more of you and less of ourselves. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray, and everybody in the church said, amen. Okay, so Psalm 27, verse 10, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. So David is going to this place of childhood mentally. He's going to this place of where we are the most vulnerable. You know, think about, you know, a little kid. They are so dependent on their caregiver. They are so dependent of their father and mother. And it is assumed that the person has a father and mother, you know. But these are so important. Calm down. Just slow down, dude. Everybody's cool. Just relax. Count to five. All right. How's everybody doing? This is a valuable, precious relationship to any single person. And as a child, we are so dependent on our caregivers, our parents, you know. And David's going back to that place saying, even if the most precious of relationships was to fall apart, even if I was abandoned by these people, you know, God will be there for me. And see, you know, that's something that certainly applies today. You know, we live in this world where mamas reject babies, daddies are absent and stuff like that. And thank God for godly mamas and godly daddies. I'm not here to beat up on anybody. But what I'm trying to say is if you have nobody in your world, okay, as a Bible-believing Christian, as a Christian, as somebody that has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, number one, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. And the good Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And He means that. So when you're going through those deep dark times, those crazy trials, you are not alone. Even if you cannot feel God's presence, because sometimes it will feel your physical body will say, God, where are you? Your mental mind will say, God, your mental mind will say, God, where are you? That he is our ever-present help in times of trouble. Even if we do not feel his presence, he is with us. Can I get a witness? When I was doing research, or really I was just leaning back in the chair in that office, and I was thinking, how far can I go without tipping this old boy over? Which is something I've come pretty close to doing that a time or two. But anyways, I was thinking about, you know, feeling alone and being abandoned and how precious it is. You know, parents are so precious to us. And so like yesterday was one of my kids' birthdays. And so I was thinking about, we always do this thing where we go around and we, whoever's birthday it is, we'll talk about the day they were born or something that we remember from their early childhood. And so I was thinking about my little girl's birthday, and I remember just how, you know, just how tiny she was, you know, and how dependent she was on us as parents, you know, and how precious. And anyways, let me just jump forward a little bit. Let's talk about this. Look at the next verse. I don't want to talk about that. I'll get sentimental. But look at 2 Timothy 4 and 16 and 17. And guys, this is I certainly would not say this is the saddest passage in the New Testament, or the saddest couple of verses in the New Testament, but it's up there. It's up there. This is kind of Paul the Apostle's Garden of Gethsemane moment, where he was all alone, but he wasn't all alone. And that's the point I'm trying to make with this verse right here, Psalm 27:10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Now look at 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. This is Paul talking to his protege Timothy about his imprisonment and his trial that could very well have costed his life. He was facing death, and eventually he did have to pay that price. But check this out, talking about when all others forsake you. 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me. Can you imagine how lonely that must have felt for our brother, the Apostle Paul? To be in this Roman court with his life hanging in the balance, and being there because he was a Christian, being there because he was spreading the gospel of Christ. He committed no wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. But here he is in this trial, and nobody came to his defense. None of his buddies were there. Matter of fact, it's not like they were sitting in the courtroom and they just didn't come up to say anything about him. But check this out. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me. Look at this. But all deserted me. But look at this, a little side note. Look at the maturity of this mighty man of God. You know, but all deserted me. But he says, may it not be charged against them. I don't hold it against them. Father God, you don't hold it against them. That's a big thing in Paul's life, forgiveness. But anyways, moving forward, look at verse 17. Remember what David said. If my mama and my papa desert me, if they abandon me, God, you will take me in. God, you will be there for me. Now look at this, verse 17, the Apostle Paul. But the Lord stood by me. See, you see how amazing that is? If you have nobody, okay, and I don't want that for you, but if you feel like you have nobody, and maybe you don't have anybody, maybe you've burned all those bridges, I'm not saying you have, but if you feel that way, if you're in a situation where you feel like you have nobody, you can't call on anybody, look, but the Lord stood by me. And he's not just there, he's not just an umpire, he's not there in the corner just watching, but the Lord stood by me, and what did he do? And strengthened me. See, you're not alone. You're not alone, okay? You're not alone. In this crazy, crazy world we live in, man, and it's getting crazier by the minute, but don't get involved in no fear. Remember, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we live in a crazy world, and it might not get any better. Okay, but okay, God's on the throne. We win, so there's much rejoicing to do, and we got a lot of work to do, but moving forward. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, okay, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Not only was God with me, so I was not alone, God was with me and he strengthened me, and I was able to serve God. That's what we're here to do. We're here to give God glory. We're here to give God honor and glory and praise. We're here to be about his business. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Sometimes we get worried about what we don't have and what our neighbor has and all this and all that. God says, all you really need is me. All you really need is me. Put me first, serve me, and I'll take care of you. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Now, so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. So this right here didn't end in death. He was snatched from the jaws of Rome to serve Lord until the Lord called him home. Okay, so Psalm 27 and verse 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Heaven forbid that's our life where we don't have anybody. But if you're a Christian, you're not alone. We have the Most High God. Look at Deuteronomy 31 in verse 6. This is the Lord talking to the Israelites. This is the Lord talking to his people. This is the Lord talking to Joshua as they are about to go into a time of crazy, crazy warfare. As they are about to enter into a time of crazy, crazy warfare, as they are about to go in and claim the promised land, where there's a whole bunch of people that do not want to give up their land and property that God has already given to the Israelites. But this is what God says. So this is the promise for God's people. Can I get a witness? Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Look at your neighbor and say, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. Don't be in dread of the unknown. Don't be fearful about what tomorrow holds. God's in control. God's in charge. We're more than conquerors through him. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, talking about the enemy. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. Man, think about them apples for a minute. David just said, my mom and dad leave me. I got nobody. I got God. And what he's saying is that's all I got to have, man. That's the big thing. That's all I have to have. And so God makes this promise. We can be brave. We can be bold. We can be strong. We can be courageous. Even though we don't really know what tomorrow holds, God knows. And the victory's already won. So I cling to his promises and I do good works. What do you mean do good works? I obey the Bible, man. I'm spreading the love of Jesus, man. Okay, just because I'm going through a hard time doesn't mean I don't have a job to do. Amen? And matter of fact, I've said this before, but it's really, really, it's a God's honest truth, man. When your heart is heavy, obviously stay in the Word of God. Stay in your prayer closet. But get out there and try and be a blessing to somebody else. There's just something about it, man. When you're about God's business, he's going to be there with you and he'll encourage you. He'll bless you. I promise you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. It's God, the one true God, the Lord your God, not just an angel, not like an angel couldn't handle it. You know what I mean? But God is with his people. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Isn't that precious? So in this first verse that we're going over this morning, David's like, if I only have you, that's all I have to have. You are everything. Because when God is with us, you know, let's go to the next slide. When God's with us, like I said, he's not just in the corner with his hands folded, okay, but he brings his grace, he brings his mercy, he brings his provision with him, okay? He has what we need to take those next steps. Psalm 27 and verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. David's like, I got people that don't like me. Matter of fact, they don't just not like me, they hate me. They don't just hate me, they want to devour me, they want to destroy me, Okay? He says, I got enemies and I need you, Lord. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need you to instruct me. So what does James say? If I need wisdom, ask the Lord, right? Well, is that true? What's going to happen if I ask the Lord? Well, he's going to tell you what to do. How is he going to tell me what to do? I ain't never heard the Lord answer back to me. Well, you know, sometimes, well, let me say this. Okay, God can and does speak to you. That's not just something that some Christian person says, bless God, I heard the voice of the Lord. Now, some people say that and they don't know what they're saying. Some people say it and they truly know what they're saying. But I will say this, God will speak to your spirit. God will speak to you. Amen? He totally will do that. But if you say and you were adamant, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. Okay, well, you probably have. You probably just didn't stop to listen. Right? You're like, oh, that's crazy. Okay? But see, we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. And that is the wonderful, precious tool that God has given us. And so if I need wisdom, I ask God, and God's going to give it to me liberally. He's going to tell me what I need to do. There's an answer to what I'm going through in the Word of God. Okay, look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. So David says, teach me, Lord. Remember, David so much through this psalm is like, I seek your face, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know more of you. I want to have a closer relationship with you. I want to know all about you, but not just know about you, but to know you. And he says, teach me, instruct me. Okay, so look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, talking about the Word of God, talking about the good book, talking about this wonderful, precious manual for life that God has given us, and we need to stay in it. All Scripture is breathed out by God. That's pretty hardcore, ain't it? All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Okay, so the Word of God is the Word of God. It's inspired. Okay, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your Word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay, so 2 Timothy 3:16 we just read. You will not find this in your bulletin, but I wrote down in my notes the New Living Translation talking about 2 Timothy 3:16. So listen to this as I read this talking about God's instruction, the Word of God. Our manual for life. 2 Timothy 3:16, New Living Translation. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Remember, David's like, just teach me, instruct me. I got people trying to get me. I don't want to fall in no traps of the enemy. I need to be on the right path. I need to do the right thing. You teach me. You instruct me. And that's what we got this here for, right here. Okay? That's why we come to church. That's why we listen to the preacher man on the radio. That's why we read the good book. And these things are all good for us. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Okay? Sometimes that's not too plain. What is true? Okay, but the Word of God, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Can I get a witness? When in doubt, if you're thinking something else that is contrary to the Word of God, or if your mind or your mama or grandma, somebody trying to give you good advice, but it's different than what the Word of God says, we need to go with what the Word of God says. You know what I mean? All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. How about that? Does it do that? Does the Word of God do that? Oh, yeah. It sure does, man. Matter of fact, sometimes when I'm kind of rebellious, and I've been there, you know, I get a little rebellious, I remember when I was being rebellious, and I still was like, well, I need to read the Bible, but I was being rebellious. There's certain things in my life, you know, so I would kind of cherry pick what I wanted to read. I want to read happy stuff. You know, I didn't want to read about the sin that I was personally committing at that time. You know, why? Because it was bringing conviction to me. And really, I didn't even want to read the Bible because I knew that I was doing wrong. But I would get into the Bible and I would kind of jump around and read certain things. But even then, God was, as I was in the Word of God, God was convicting me. You know, saying, man, you were so messed up, dude. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Right? All right, okay. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what is right. Isn't that beautiful? That's this wonderful thing we have. All right. Because David has these people that are trying to do him harm, he's like, God, I need you. I need your direction. I don't know in my own power whether to go right or left. I'm not exactly sure what to do. God, you teach me. You guide me. And David understood that principle as a shepherd. He got how that worked. Matter of fact, look at Psalm 23, verse 4. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's pretty crazy right there. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. That's some scary stuff, dude. Well, to get to where we're going, we're going to have to go smack dab through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk, and sometimes in our life, to get where God has us going, we have to drink of that cup. Sometimes we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We go through these crazy, crazy, crazy hard times, man. You know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. See, there it is again. For you are with me. David has got this thing figured out, man. Okay, I can fight a giant because God is with me. I know that God's going to be with me because I fought a bear and God was with me. I know I can fight a bear because I fought a lion. God was with me. So as armies, as my son Absalom, as Saul, as these things happen, God is with me. Okay? God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. But he's not just with us. He is with us. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what does a shepherd do? What does he do with the rod and the staff? He directs us. He leads us. He teaches us. He guides us, right? So David's saying, Lord, teach me the right way to go. Teach me what to do. I got people that mean to do me harm, and I need you. And he knows God's going to be there for him. He's got that part figured out. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide, Clyde. Is Clyde working back there? No, it's Paul Jr. and Chelsea. It is true. They say that stuff about dad jokes being horrible. It's true. The older you get, the more just, I don't know. Psalm 27, verse 12. You guys doing all right? Psalm 27, verse 12. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. Teach me, Lord. Guide me, lead me. I can't do this without you. I know you're going to be with me. Even if my mama and my papa aren't with me, you're going to be with me. And don't let my enemies get me. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. These dudes ain't violent. They ain't just violent. They ain't just ornery. They ain't just mean. When they breathe out violence. These are some dirty, rotten scoundrels that are out to get me. And he says, don't let these guys get a hold of me. So is David kind of waffling back and forth between God is my salvation, God is my light, God is my strong tower? He's like, God, don't let them get me. I'm freaking out. No, I don't think that's what's going on. I think what he's doing here, okay, and sometimes we get like that. You know, fear comes against us, man. These things begin to bombard us and we get a little fearful. Well, even then, if that's the case, he's running into the arms of the Lord, saying, God, don't let these people get a hold of me. But what he's really doing, in my opinion, and I know you're not here to hear my opinion, but what I believe the man is doing here is he is giving his petition to the Lord. He's saying, okay, this is what's going on in my life. These are some bad dudes, man, all right? And they're coming against me, all right? I need you to teach me. Don't let these guys get a hold of me, all right? Okay, so it's like in the Word of God when it says, what is that word? Cast your cares upon him because he does not care for you. But there's that other one. With prayer, there's something else. There's something. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Okay? So that's what David's doing here. He's saying, God, I don't need these people to get a hold of me. It ain't going to be pretty. He's saying, this is what I got going on. Take care of it. Psalm 91, 9 and 10. Psalm 91, 9 and 10. And we're kind of jumping around the Psalms, man, but Psalms are awesome. Psalm 91, 9 and 10. David's like, don't let these guys get a hold of me. This is his petition that he's offering up to God. And he knows. He knows in his heart, Brother Wally. He knows in his heart, Brother Dustin. He knows in his heart, Brother Bill, that God is his only hope. But with God in his corner, or him in God's corner, he's going to be just fine. He's going to be just fine because the Christian how's that saying go? Because I don't want to mess it up. The Christian is, maybe I think I might have wrote it down. So the Christian is undefensible? No, that's not it. Christian is, what is that word when like you cannot be harmed? You're like Superman. Indestructible? Indivincible? Look, you're indestructible. You're indestructible. Or we shouldn't record this one, I don't think. What's wrong with him? This is one of those where mom will say, Sister Claudia will meet with you. Paul, I just wish you could get more rest. I know, Mama. I know. You are indestructible until the good Lord calls you home, man. Does that make sense? It's true. I'm not saying you're not going to have hard times. I mean, the Word of God, that's all through the Word of God. We're going to have trials and storms through much tribulation. We enter the kingdom. Those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But until the good Lord is done with you here, he's going to be with you, and he's going to keep you afloat so you are indestructible until he's done with you. David gets that, man. He's like, okay, these guys are coming against me. God, this is my petition. Teach me what to do. I need you. Psalm 91, 9 and 10 kind of backs that up a little bit. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Paul, man, how do you make the Lord your dwelling place? I don't get it. Why are you always talking about all this? What is this? I don't get it, man. We trust in God's promises, man. We trust in God. That's an easy way to understand it, all right? I trust in God's promises. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God's got a good plan for me, okay? There might be some bumps in this road, but the end result's going to be worth it. I'm trusting in God's promises. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. David knows if God doesn't want this enemy to get a hold of me, this enemy is not going to get a hold of me. Okay? And I'm gonna be about God's business until he calls me home. Until he calls me home, I'm going to continue to be about God's business. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. For false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. So these are some bad cats, man. These are some bad dudes. And so, I always get tongue-tied when I'm up here. But the way I look at this whole thing here is, if the ungodly are going to come against you, and it's right here in Scripture, if the ungodly is going to come against you, and they will, okay, let them come against you for doing the right thing. In other words, we don't want to give the enemy or the world system, we don't want to give them an ammunition to use against us. You know what I'm saying? So let them come against us for doing God's work, for being a Christian like the Apostle Paul, who was in trial, and everybody left him, but God was with him. But he knew that he was going through that actual physical trial that could have costed him his life. Because he was just serving God. He was being obedient to God. So if we're going to go through hard times, and we certainly will, let it be because we're serving God and not getting in the flesh. Let it be for serving God. And hey, how about if somebody's going to come against a Christian, make it to where they have to lie about us. You know, make it where they just, you know, like we read about these court cases in Scripture where they have to get these people to be false witnesses. you know, because there was nothing other than this person serving God, you know. So anyways, let me try and back that up a little bit. 1 Peter 4, 14 and 15. But let's look at Psalm 27, 12 again before I read that. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. Don't let these guys get a hold of me. For false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence. These people are lying about me. And if we're Christians, man, let them come against us. Let them have to make something up, man. You know what I mean? Okay. 1 Peter 4, 14 and 15. This is Brother Peter, the Apostle Peter. Oh, this is making sense. If this has been like, if you can honestly say in your heart that this is the worst service you've ever had to sit through in your life, if you feel that way, I want you to go grab a flower. I want you to grab one of the big flowers and you take it home because you've earned that. You take it home. You give it to someone. You give it to somebody you love. And every time you water that old boy, think about, Lord, this Sunday, don't let it be that horrible. Lord, no, it's all right, huh? Everybody's doing fine. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. We're here to give God glory. All right? 1 Peter 4, 14 and 15. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, and that's going to happen. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. What? The Bible has a lot of things like that in there, kind of counterintuitive, kind of things that go against the way we were wired, the way we were born. Insulted for the name of Christ, I'm blessed. Well, think about it. You're being insulted because you represent Jesus. You're being insulted because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. At the end of the day, when the curtain falls, man, you get to go to heaven, right? Right? Man, there's nothing better than that. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Okay, so there it is again, the Spirit of God. You're not alone. If you're being insulted for the cause of Christ or whatever, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you. We need to listen to that voice, but moving forward, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you, verse 15. Now, this is the kicker right here. But let it is what it is. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a Bette Midler fan. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that, but every time I read Medler, I don't know. I always think about that. Lord, I'm sorry, but look, check this out. I really do apologize. But look, we're going to suffer for being a Christian. That's going to happen. People are going to despise you because of who you represent. Some people are just going to hate you because the spirit that indwells them is different than the one that you got, all right? If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. So Peter's saying, hey, you're going to have hard times. You're going to suffer for being a Christian. But make sure if you suffer for being a Christian. Don't suffer because you're straddling the fence. Don't suffer because you have unforgiveness in your heart. Don't suffer because you're going around thieving and lying and all that. And it lists all these like pretty hardcore, what we would call pretty hardcore sins. You know what I mean? Murderer, thief, all around evildoer, right? That cat right there is he's all around evildoer. He's not quite a murderer. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer. And then it says, as a meddler. As a meddler. Don't be meddling. Don't be a meddler. I just find that kind of funny. But anyways, bottom line, right here, David is saying, let me read it. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. Don't let these people get a hold of me. For false witnesses have risen against me. These people are liars, and they breathe out violence. So he's giving his petition to God. So let's go to the next slide. Is everybody, I know you guys are fine. I don't even have to ask. Everybody's doing good. Psalm 27, 13, and 14. And if we get done with this, this will be the end of this wonderful study we've been doing. But you guys should stick in the Psalms. Read the Psalms. They're amazing. Especially if you're going through a difficult season or a hard time. Stay in the Psalms, man. The Psalms of David, he is brutally honest about what he's going through. Psalm 27, 13, and 14. Now, this is really, 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 really good stuff right here. I love this next verse so much. And you may remember, if you were here or whatever, earlier in this study, we were talking about the first verse, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And I wanted to make the point that he's not just talking about salvation as in the Lord has saved my soul or eternal salvation, or I'm going to go to heaven forever and ever and ever. Now, that's certainly part of it, and there's nothing more awesome or amazing than that, you know? That's just a wonderful blessing. That is the big thing that we have, an amazing thing. But he wasn't just talking about that. He's talking about these evildoers, these people that are lying about him, this group of folks that want him dead. He's saying, God, you are my salvation. You're going to get me through this mess. And we want God just to pick us up and get us out of a mess, and he doesn't always do that. A lot of times he holds our hands and he takes us through the mess, all right? But David says, okay, we're going to do this. Lead me through this mess. And he says, I know that you're going to get me through to a place of victory. I know that this is not the end for me. You have much more for me to do here. Okay. So look, I believe, or I am confident. And this is the part that we really need to just shove into our hearts, man, that I know that God wants what's best for me. That he is a loving father. Even if my mom and daddy didn't want what's best for me, or if they abandoned me or whatever, God wants what's best for me, and he's going to be there for me. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord. I am confident that God is going to get me through this, that I am going to get through this. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This trial that I'm going through, even though sometimes it feels like it could be the end of me, like this is just crushing me. I can't see, I can't envision any kind of normalcy coming back into my life. I don't even know what that would look like. I've got so much going on. My heart has just been crushed. All right, whatever you might be going through, it's not too big for God, and he completely cares about it. And David, going through this crazy trial, he says, I know, I'm confident. I'm absolutely confident God's going to get me through this, that I will see the sun shine again, that I will hear the birds chirp. And I'm not trying to be silly or funny right now, but that's what's going on, man. It's like, I'm going to get through this. I know that I am going to see God's goodness, that I'm going to get through this. Give the Lord some praise. I believe that I shall look, and maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you right now, but it might mean something to us next week. This is real deal stuff right here. When all we got is God, when nobody really understands, even though they might care and love you, nobody really understands what you're going through, or you might feel that way, right? Huh? Sometimes God does. God knows what you're going through. God cares, and he says, hold on to me. We're going to get through this. The sun will shine again in your life. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We're going to be here until the good Lord's done with us. That's just how this thing works. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19. Therefore, this is something to hang on to. All right. I know God's going to get me through this. I know that I know. Like David, I'm confident of God's goodness, right? Now look, this is what we hang on to. This is one of them awesome, amazing things that we grab onto. This is our life preserver. This is our life raft. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. Okay, now remember what Peter was talking about a little earlier in our little study earlier today. It's like, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed. Okay, if you suffer, don't suffer because you're a murderer, you know. That's not really going through a trial. I mean, you're going to have a trial when you get caught, brother. You know what I mean? You're going to have your day in court. Okay? But that's not a trial. That's you're dealing with the consequences of something bad, right?
Okay, that's just how that works.
But he says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will, okay, because God does have to sign off on it. God did allow it, right? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. Know this, that God is faithful. Like David, in this current situation that he's in Psalm 27, he has already got that figured out. God is faithful. God's done been there for me. He ain't going to let me down now, okay? And that's the place where we got to get. God is faithful. All right, my life's been hard. I've caused a lot of it myself. My life's been brutal. Sometimes bad things just happen. That's just how this thing works right now, okay? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. Just give it over to God. Put your trust in God. When Satan begins to lie to you and whisper in your ear, this is the end of you, you need to just, or whatever. Okay, just go back and stand on God's promises. Entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. I like that how Peter ends the verse with, while doing good. Don't quit your day job. I know it's tough right now. I know it's a mess, all right? But you just put all that in the category of God's going to get me through this. I'm trusting in God. He is faithful. Now I'm going to continue to let my light shine. I'm going to be there for people that are going through something similar to me or other people that are hurting. Isaiah 40 and verse 29. Give the Lord some praise while I enjoy this water. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm confident of God's goodness through this mess. Okay, so I'm going to continue to do good. I'm trusting in God. I'm going through this storm. My heart is broken. My heart is heavy. Isaiah 40, verse 29. I'm clinging to God, and I'm asking God to give me what I need because He gives power to the faint. Because He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Some of us need to underline that in our Bibles. Some of us need to write that on our bathroom mirror. Just whatever, man. We need to get this one close to us. God gives me what I need. God gives me strength. All right? Wait for the Lord. This is the last verse of our Psalm 27 thing we've been doing for a few weeks. Wait for the Lord. So this is kind of cool. David's been doing this psalm of just trusting in God and relying on God and God's faithfulness. And then it's like he kind of turns and faces an audience, if you will, or turns, you know, and it's like now he's talking directly to Sister Dana. Now he's talking directly, which he's been doing that, but you get what I'm saying. Now he's talking directly to Sister Claudia. Now he's talking directly to me, all right? Wait for the Lord. It's like tying this whole thing together, Dalton. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Patiently wait on the Lord, all right? And some of us, I mean, let's be honest, that's really, really hard to do. Man, God, I'm this age, I'm this educated, and I should be, I want this, okay? Well, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God, my heart is just so heavy. And I wait on the Lord. Trust in God's promises. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Trusting in God's faithfulness. Waiting on the Lord. Trusting in God's faithfulness. Say, waiting on the Lord equals trusting in God. Just trusting in Him that He's going to do this, that He's going to get me there. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Isn't that pretty? So Isaiah 40 and verse 31, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Love that verse. It's very precious. Keep that in mind. Let's go back up to Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait for the Lord. What does that look like? What Isaiah 40 verse 31 said, but they who wait on the Lord, I'm trusting in God's faithfulness. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That's what David's telling us. Man, be brave. Be brave. Just trust in God. Trust in God. Don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful about the unknown. God knows what's coming. God knows what's ahead. He's going to be there with you. It's not all doom and gloom. The Lord's already won. Okay, so we can be excited. Yeah, we're going to have hard times, but God is faithful. He will get us through. So David's saying, man, trust. You can be brave. You can be bold, man. Even though it looks kind of scary, man. Even though everything's a mess. I can be confident in my God. That's the one thing David says I have to have is God. I'm nothing without God. I can't do this for another day without God, but with God I can do it until he calls me home. And then it's going to get real, real good. So give the Lord some praise. This is this wonderful promise, and we'll close with this. He gives power to, I already read that, Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord, because that's David's instruction to us, wait on the Lord. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. He's going to give me what I need. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I love that part, man. They shall run and not be weary. If I had to be a bird, an eagle would, that would, it would be an eagle, right? Those are the real hip, awesome, cool birds, right? I mean, everybody likes the little, what are the little flappy things that float in front of your face? No, those are just in my dreams. No, there's a little like hummingbirds. Those are kind of cool, right? But who wants to be one of those? I think they do that forever and ever and ever or something. I don't know. What are you, Marlon Perkins over there? I don't see so. Is that Marlon Perkins? No, but look, nobody even knows who that is, do you? But I just need to close. But they who wait, I'm trying to land it, I swear. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, man, soaring above all this destruction and despair. I'm trusting in God. Yeah, I'm aware of what's going on. I don't have my face buried in the mud like that other bird. What's that other bird, ostrich? No. I told you, I never mind. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So that's awesome, man. I'm going to wait on the Lord. He's going to give me what I need. I'm going to get through this. We desire God. That's what we need. We need more of God, less of you. More of God, less of me. Father God, we love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness and your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. We love you and we praise you, Lord. Let us take our walk in relationship and obedience serious. Let us hunger and thirst to be what you would have us do. Let us stay in our word and in our prayer closet. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.